Welcome to the second episode of A Practical Guide to Podcasting. This is Peter Hill Explains, where I discuss things scientific. In this discussion of podcasting, I'm not talking about podcasting to gain an audience or to send out a message, but more podcasting is a basic professional capability of a teacher for two areas. One is to record detailed explanations and give them to your students to listen as they go home. And the second reason is, as you're dealing with issues, you can actually create your own personalized podcast and then through a series of processes produce a transcript. So if you've been through an issue and there's much to record about it, rather than actually trying to work on it requiring a lot of effort and exercises, you can simply podcast and then through a series of simple processes produce a transcript. Now, this is very good because you can do this with little effort over time. You can actually store a series of podcasts and store the location in a spreadsheet and actually come back and actually reconstruct a very well-documented review of an issue or something that you are looking at. In the last episode, we talked about the practical aspects of actually recording, and I introduced you to this small dictaphone called the VP10 by Epson. It's a fairly good utility device, and it has several settings which I think I'll go over and review very quickly. One is a pocket setting and a dictaphone setting. These are different scene settings you can set up by going through. It takes a little bit of effort to go through and analyze it. And the pocket setting, for instance, will remove any rustling. It may take a little bit to position the phone such that there's no wind or breathing sounds and stuff like that. It also has a voice activation setting, which you can switch on, which removes silences and pauses. So you may be reading through a essay and you reach a line and you say line 30 and such a comment. Quietly reading, you read through and read line 50 and such a comment. So this is a voice activation setting on the dictaphone. So what I'm going to do now is I will stop speaking for 30 seconds now, and you can see the effect with no editing software what actually happens. So I'll stop speaking now. That was a 30 second break as recorded by my watch. Another feature is the earphone jack at the very top, so you can discreetly put in some earphones and replay your podcast to yourself. So cut out the entire computer aspect. You can replay it through your headphones as it is recorded as a file. Similarly, you can upload podcast files into your dictaphone and listen to them. Basically, you can remove the back cap, will expose a USB port, then plugged into the computer acts as a drive. So this is where we get on to transition from the hardware discussion to the software discussion. And the point that I did make is that it's an MP3 file. You can transport it to a video editing program of your choice. Camtasia 9 is something which is a fairly standard one. It has the ability to upload your video file to YouTube. This then means that when it's uploaded to YouTube, you make it a unlisted or private setting. You can do this in Camtasia 9, but with a little bit of effort in the edit menu of YouTube, you can get the transcript of your file. It quite faithfully, at high accuracy, converts your voice into text, and this can be exported as a file. And with a little bit of manipulation, I think you can also manipulate it in Excel if you're pushed, but a simple bit of C programming can remove all the timestamps. Although I do find having timestamps into what you speak, or especially if it's in a meeting with people and you want to produce the transcript, you need timestamps, particularly if you're in a meeting and you're taking minutes. It's very useful to keep timestamps on what is said or transcribing, because it does happen that other people take the minutes and they redact large sections from the minutes that does not suit them. And you can see that there are large absences if you look at the timestamps. And it's a very useful thing to do, the timestamps here. That's the processing of the podcast. So that's this podcast to transcript. Podcasts to sound engineering. Now, it is possible to podcast a file through by importing the file into a free program called Audacity. So you, if you want Audacity, you type that into your browser, Audacity, and download a free version into your computer. Now, Audacity has a few limitations in that it does not have the license to a few codecs. So I do think there's a problem of Audacity producing an MP3 file. MP3 is the name of a file type, very important when we get into blogging, that you have things of the correct file type. Then again, it's sort of fairly dubious whether you want to sound engineer your podcast. Bear in mind that you, the general thrust of the idea behind podcasts is a professional capability building. Two aspects of it. One is the day-to-day running of your profession. Another is a more strategic way that you're developing skills which will allow you to more effectively YouTube, present, or discuss things. So there's two aspects. So we're looking at capability building. So under the capability building, the idea of Audacity, which allows you to mix in music. You can get a music royalty-free music track and place it there and mix the various tracks together. You can then produce a final track. It is, I suppose, necessary from time to time to produce a or change file types. There's NCH, which is a program which I've bought. I think it costs around $14. Audacity is free. NCH allows you to change file types, or more importantly, to compress file types. So the MP3 produced by your dictaphone is just about a megabyte a minute. So if you speak for 40 minutes or an hour, you'll get a 60 megabyte file. Now, 60 megabyte files are rather large. They're difficult to email, and they're slow to upload on the internet. It's unfortunate, because a lot of that additional information does not significantly improve the quality of your podcast. NCH allows you to compress files rather easily and select the nature of the compression. So a variable bitrate, the lowest or second lowest quality, is more than good enough for a podcast, reducing things down. This brings up two issues in terms of your capability podcasting. So part of the capability podcasting is to be able to select different venues and different time zones within your day, which people, I suppose, you're competing against or you're working with would single task. One of the best times to podcast is while you're driving between point A and point B. You can focus on the traffic. And with some skill build-up, you can actually create a podcast. Now, this podcast with traffic noise, I think, ultimately is not fit for internet production, but it's more than good enough to, a small area podcast where you want to just talk to a friend or develop an idea for people to review. They'll be more than tolerant to hear you talk in a casual, conversational way while you're driving, and it also limits the amount of time that you can podcast. So that's another aspect to the entire attribute of how you podcast. Now, of course, it's much easier to podcast into a VP10 because it can be simply strapped to your seatbelt across you. So in Australia, and I think the rest of the world besides the United States, it's compulsory to wear seatbelts. So you can simply plug the VP10 to your seatbelt and continue. Use in the outdoors and in other areas where you will want to podcast, walking is one aspect. It's probably a bit more problematic. You can go into different areas and podcast outside. There's the problem of wind. Going inside to a car and podcasting inside a car, there's a problem of extreme heat and oxygen. Oxygen's a bit of a problem with me because I have a heart condition, so therefore I like a lot of fresh air. So at the moment there's a big high temperature high going through us in Sydney, and there's a large wind outside, so I'm just quietly podcasting inside my bedroom. So you've got the venue. Now we've got the issue of we have our file, we've listened to it. The idea of the capability building is to be able to generate quick podcasts and get them out to the internet relatively quickly. They're sort of disposal, so to speak. So we have to generate the podcast quickly. After you've spoken into the VP10, you plug it into your computer, and if it's a large file, you will compress it, and it will can compress and be transferred into your Google Drive. Now, once in your Google Drive, the podcast can be opened up, and the actual it's equivalent to being published to the internet. So you can use your Google Drive to publish your podcasts. Although, for some reason, I've had some difficulty with this, and some users have had some problem with it. And because I'm using a website and a file transfer protocol software, this is another layer of software that you can use to transfer your file to some hosting site in the internet. So for me, I have just have a site which I have bought, a domain, and a web hosting service. I think it's from Just Host. It's rather expensive, a relatively fast Just Host. Just Host has some data houses here in Australia, so we don't have the problem of transporting information to America, and also users which call up information from our website. If the information is called up a number of times, it's stored very locally, so it's very fast and very good. Now, so Just Host will be basically a drive. It will appear similar to a drive on your computer. It will be just a drive which is addressable on the internet. So the files will have a URL which is basically the internet host file position of a file that you put in. I, of course, have written robotic programs which put up apps, web apps, to the internet. So I'm already using a hosted website, and my little robotic programs produce apps and just publish them autonomously to the internet. So I'm already paying for this. So there is an issue for yourself that once you have produced your podcast, you can email the podcast to a person. You can get the Google Drive position of it, or you can actually host it in a website. And at the the latter, hosting a website, means that you need a file FTP program to transport your file to the internet. So just stop for a moment. We have talked about the physical stuff. Now we're talking about the software stuff. And we're at the point of actually putting your podcast on the internet. So by simply setting up your FTP program, I use Qt FTP because I've used it in the past and I find it relatively robust. So all this means is that you call up your website. You have to create an FTP image in the website, so your web host will have a help menu to allow you to do that. That will produce a URL to a file, which a directory that you can use, which will have a password, and you have to put that URL and password into your FTP program called Qt FTP. FTP stands for File Transfer Protocol. And this means this is just like a program. It will have a screen and you simply pick up your file and drag it and drop it onto the screen. And within a relatively short time, that file will be uploaded to the internet. And if you call up your URL, your directory, you don't need to have any web page or anything like that. You just type in the position of your position in the internet. This file appears and refresh the file and refresh the directory, and the file will appear fairly quickly. So it will actually appear before it's uploaded. When that appears, you can copy the link address to your file. So this is an important thing to have, because we are now going to install. Now, there's many steps, but it's actually rather simple. We've now got to load your file or create a blog page which points to that file that you've uploaded on the internet. So let's go through this. Step one, you create a podcast. Step two, you upload it to your web host. Step three, you create a blog page which will eventually point to this site. Now, this keeps on going. It's actually fairly simple. I almost did it without thinking, and so I had to actually go back and look at what I've done. So the blog page will have the title of your blog. You'll create a new blog page, a new blog. Title of your blog, just a few words to describe what the in your content, the content of your blog. I tend to like to hyperlink a keyword in that and link your website, your web-hosted podcast, to that keyword. So if someone opens up your blog, they can just press on the URL and listen to what you have to say. Now, what happens is they press on that URL is that they will they'll be taken to a browser page which will have a play button on it, and it will start to play your podcast to them through the computer. They can otherwise, I'm actually not quite sure, because I actually don't listen to other people's podcasts this way. I actually don't have a smart mobile phone. I'm a poor Australian teacher. But the other thing you must do is, because this goes to stage number four, but for this it will have a tag menu. So over the right of your editing of your blog page, before you've actually hit the publish button to publish your blog to the internet, you'll have on the right, and you'll have keywords, and in this case I have a keyword Dr. Hill Teach. which I've selected to have all my podcasts pulled out. So your blog is sort of a general filing cabinet of ideas and information that you're creating. And Dr. Hill Teach, or a particular tag word, you'll put up there. So you'll enter a tag word. And once you've entered one tag word, it will remember the tag word. So every new page will give you an option of identifying it with this tag word. So you highlight that tag word, and under links, embedded links, it's just the word links, you click that, and in the link box, you'll have a link box and file type, but you don't have to worry about the file type. It will work out what the file type is by just reading the URL. You then paste again. So remember, you've expressed Control K and then Control C in your text to actually hyperlink a piece of text to your blog. And this actually links the blog itself to the text, so people can click on this and just download the actual content if they want. So it's the other thing. I live in hope, obviously, by placing the comments, switching the comments on so that people can leave some comments. The aim of the game, of course, is to gather these comments. We're nearly there. That's step one, which is make your podcast. Step two, load it to the internet. Step three, create a blog page which is linked to that podcast on the internet, that blog page is itself linked to a subset of blogs, all with the same tag. It also has a link enclosure, it's called an enclosure link, and it allows people then to press on that enclosure and listen to your podcast. So they have two options to go. If, as I've said, there's two parts, one, two, and three. Part number four is to submit it to a feed, and this is what everyone actually accesses. They actually don't go around the internet searching for your blog. They subscribe to feeds. So a feed is an internet file which points to all your blog files. So I use FeedBurner. It's a process where you go through and submit a feed to FeedBurner. And once it's done, I've done many over the years, many failed attempts. And once that's done, the FeedBurner and selected the various items that you put to it. Once that's done, that feed is generated. And there's only one more final step. Once you've submitted that feed to the feeder, it's automatically linked to the feeder, because the feeder actually knows to look at the blog and knows to go through. Once you've set up the feed, you don't have to do anything, because the feeder is an automated program which reads your blog and publishes to the internet the latest news reel from your blog. So it will publish basically a scrolling feed of information about what your latest blog is and submit it to the internet. And people who have subscribed to your feed will be automatically alerted of your blog. Now, in order to, this program automatically checks your blog every half hour, but to check that everything is working, you ping, you ping your feed. And a ping feed was stored in your favorite, and you just press your favorites and ping your feed. So let's go through this again. So we've done the mechanical aspects, we're now going through the software aspects, and there's a series of steps. You record your blog, you put your blog onto the internet, correction. You record your podcast, you put your podcast, upload your podcast to the internet. You link your upload to a blog, and then you alert the FeedBurner, the feed, that the blog has been updated. And this will automatically send your podcast to everyone who you want. Now, we've now covered the mechanical and the software aspects. We'll now quickly cover the theoretical aspects of it. So podcasting, or the ability to speak on a topic, is a complex task. If you're stressed and under-practiced, it takes a long time to get ahead. And I think yourself is the best critic, and it's a very individual thing. So I'm going to talk about myself individually as how I've achieved or what I'm going for, and I understand full well this will not apply to everybody else. So with me, I sort of have a mesh type of brain. I think it's called cross-dominant brain, so I have different parts of my brain thinking on different things at the same time. So I will assign a problem to part of my brain, and will go away and work on it, and I'll check on it a long time later. And indeed, a lot of people actually do operate like this. If they're put in a calm state, you can coach them, and after a sleep or whatever it is, a bit of a break, the skill will come to them. So that's very true with me. There's the broad idea of that you're not producing a particular product. You don't have an aim of having a fantastically big audience. You just want to create a capability base. And although you have all these skills sitting out there which can be called in at any one time, you can really only focus on one or two and call them up. So initially it was looking at the mechanical aspects, then streamlining the software aspects of it, and then reviewing your podcasting style. The major points, I suppose, I've picked up is removing the ums and ahs, and I haven't actually had a particular technique to it. I've just noted that, assigned it to my head, and after a few podcasts, monitored whether I'm reducing pods and car ums and ahs. Then when I read a book, I will see how the author has described an image and built up an image over some time, whether they've taken a lot of words to do it, whether they've actually used some key emotive language to build it out, what sort of information is required to build it up. I haven't actually thought this through, but this means that in my sort of mesh brain, just allowing that will go through to allow it to improve. There are many things I have to do, like improve the quality of my voice and speaking. And again, I will think about that, look at a few YouTubes and not do anything particular, and see if there's anything I can do to improve. Then I have the, target of producing sufficiently interesting podcasts, or trying to actually understand what it is I'm trying to podcast. Now, at the moment, one of the strange the things that you do understand is that a lot of people have a very short engagement with problems. So they'll look at a problem, it'll either be too much or easily solved, or they'll do something rather than actually sit with a problem. And I've become very aware that scientists tend to partner with a problem for many, many years and come back and revisit it, a bit like a corpse put somewhere. They come back and visit it and check that, how it's going, and develop a belief scenario rather than coming in to give a judgment. So very much similar here, not coming in here to produce a fantastic podcast and become famous. No, I'm just developing the capability. Similarly, in the laser labs, there are things to do, measurements to take, but the general thing of producing reliable equipment and reliable results generation, that what you do produce is actually on a capability pyramid. And so a lot of people can see the apex of the pyramid but don't realize the work going into it. So there's all those different aspects of podcasting which I would like to improve. One of the things I suppose that I am interested in is the unusual explanation, which is true and key and central to understanding things, but has been deemed too hard by people who haven't really thought about the snake oil management people who come in and set up shop, and the ethics, I suppose, of selling snake oil or very short, quick science has an effect that you have the good citizens of Australia or the world being sold snake oil, when really the problems are a little bit more colourful, a little bit more interesting, and require a little bit more time. And there is that upset, that angst. I don't understand it instantly. So recently I have done the explanation of the sun, and that is something which has required many years of, I suppose, research, reading equations, phoning up scientists in the US and plasma physics in the US, and not confronting them, saying this is a problem, but just generally building up an idea. And so you develop a strong idea, you develop an understanding which cannot be transported into the classroom instantly. And so it requires a lot of work to get you there. And the students who are given this advanced understanding will then use it and get a negative feedback. Of course, I get the negative feedback and I go, oh, this is a beautiful thing that that people around me do not understand or do not go through. So in the case of stars, the colour of stars is related to the size, but it's the size which determines how deep into the star. So bigger stars actually cut in deeper or skin deeper. You see a deeper layer of the skin on the surface. So it's a little bit more complexity and to know things going through. I suppose in terms of the issue of capability of podcasting, the actual sheer volume of explanation really suits the podcasting medium. And what you eventually have to do is directly build an image in people's minds. So the things that I'm going to try and do is look at some more simple things to podcast to get more and develop pictures in people's minds to go there. And again, with this capability management, I will eventually be able to have some fairly high quality podcasts to give off to teaching peers, and they can criticise and actually lift it up from there. So often people have feedback they can give, but it has to be at a sufficiently high standard. So that's the strategic aim of podcasting. I know this is rather sad, or not exciting for people to listen to. It's important to me because I've been laid low with one heart operation. I'm going to have another heart operation in, a week's time, and that will take a few weeks to recover from. And podcasting is a good thing to return to when you're in a weakened state, to get back on your horse and start working again. So, in terms of, there's a whole lot of aspects for why you want to do it. So I hope people listening to it will say, well, some of this may apply to me, or I have a friend. Look, if I can make a recommendation, if you've got a group of friends, have one person who buys a VP10 or a dictaphone and go around with a group of friends, have another person who understands how to upload it to the internet, another person who's expert at blogging, and then eventually contact me, because I'll learn a lot from you. Look, that's all I have to say today in Peter Hill Explains. And in the meantime, keep on doing science.